Welcome to Beauty 4.0, Decoding the Business of Beauty, a podcast by Cosmetic Design. We take you inside for a close-up of the innovations and innovators behind the beauty and personal care industry and find out just how they are shaping its future.
On this episode, I'm speaking to cosmetic chemist Rita Sellers about the excessive proliferation of beauty products and why she thinks brand collaborations within the beauty industry could help us mitigate these unsustainable consumption patterns. Hi, Rita. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I know it took us a while to get here, but thank you for sticking out with me.
Oh, no problem, Amanda. Thank you for having me, as always. I love chatting all things beauty.
Yeah, but before we get started, right, maybe you can start off by telling our listeners a bit more about what you do, because you seem to do a lot of things. You're a multi-hyphenate.
Maybe you could
give us some idea of what you do and, you know, and how you work with indie brands.
Yeah, definitely. So I have a company called pH Factor. We are a bespoke laboratory service. We help brands create products. We help them create something very different to what's out there in the marketplace. And we saw that it wasn't just a need for creating a product. It wasn't just, you know, here you go, here's a product, see you later. Through pH Factor, we created the Startup Collective, which enabled our resources in the industry to connect these brands to insurance companies, to connect them to regulators, to connect them to, you know, people who understood retail, how do you make your product, as we call, retail ready, to connect them to different pharmacy associations, to help their journey and make their products, you know, viable for long term, not just a one-hit wonder.
Is it possible for you to mention some of the indie brands you have worked with?
We've been very fortunate lately. We've been able to speak to a lot of our brands and they've been very happy to mention, like, Hair Shops is a really cool new indie brand that just got launched in hair care, focusing on that whole skinification. So we're really proud, and they were proud to let us know, or let everyone know that we were their formulators. You know, we created a clean swim range to remove chlorine from your skin after you jump in a pool.
Oh.
And you smell like chlorine. That's a really cool one. So we work with a few multinationals, which, you know, that we can't really speak about, but yeah, a lot of watch this space, because our website's going to be listing some of our customers soon. So we're really excited about that.
That's very interesting you mentioned about the chlorine. I find that indie brands nowadays, they might be getting more and more niche.
Absolutely. Absolutely more niche. The reason why I mentioned someone like, you know, Hair Shots and Clean Swim is because of that. They're not just saying, oh, I love this, whatever product and I want to make something similar. They're actually seeing a problem out in the market and they're trying to, I guess, create products to fix that. So it's really solution-based type of products. That's what we're starting to see indie brands moving into that space, which is really, really exciting. It's so amazing. It's so powerful in that space. It's so powerful in the development, and it's so exciting because you get to work with new molecules, you get to work with, you know, new types of formulations, new emulsifiers. Look, the whole challenging part is the fun part, I guess. It's easy to make your basic emulsions or shampoos or conditioners, but when you do get something that's a little bit tricky, that's the fun part.
This actually leads me into a question I have about the indie beauty scene and how you think it has changed in the last decade.
My gosh, I mean, I started in the industry almost 30 years ago, and I can see a huge change, not just from 30 years ago, but even from 5 years ago, and even from since COVID has happened. You probably see the same, Amanda,
yeah,
when it comes to, indie beauty. One of the biggest changes in indie beauty scene is the increased demand for natural, organic, people wanting sustainably sourced. I mean, our conference that we just had, the Australian Society of Cosmetic Chemists, the theme was, you know, from small steps to giant leaps. It's about transforming your brand and working with that sustainability journey. We had our panel discussion on sustainability. How can we do better as businesses and as individuals? Consumers are wanting this. They're wanting us to source ingredients that are more sustainable. You know, B certification is growing.
Mm.
Um, Humans are more conscious of what they put on their skin. They can, I mean, the amount of apps that are now that you can just QR code or scan an ingredient list and it tells you what rating is it. Is it bad or is it good? You don't even have to look at the product, what it does. You just go, oh, yeah, the ingredients are all good, I'll buy it. Indie beauty scene has changed because consumers have more access to information.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think, yeah, that's where I see indie beauties are now wanting to become more transparent. So they're becoming more, more apathy towards what the consumers are wanting. So they're wanting to be transparent. There are brands now putting percentages of product ingredients onto their packaging. They talk about these ingredients a lot more. Many consumers, want to know more about where are you sourcing these ingredients and where is it manufactured and the manufacturing process and carbon emissions. All these, you know, key words that consumers are wanting are forcing indie brands to change. So even since COVID, we're starting to see even indie brands change more by becoming more transparent and wanting to move and adapt to what the consumers are wanting.
Do you have a quick question on, like, you know, brands who kind of like are very transparent in their sourcing? Are they ever worried about, you know, IP or someone taking their formulation and that sort of thing?
So, well, yeah. So unfortunately, that is a big thing at the moment. So we had a few indie brands talk about where they were sourcing their ingredients and where they were sourcing their, you know, and it was evident because they spoke about the product and the trade names, and then other brands would copy. That's always going to be the case. Mm. And I always say to indie brands, look, at the end of the day, your story is your story. Try and sell it the way you want to sell it. The consumers will buy what you're selling because you have that passion and love. Anyone can create anything, but it's the story around how you've communicated it. We might always have, you know, the kakadu extract from the same, you know, place in Western Australia or wherever we get it, but it doesn't matter. Your story and your journey of what you've created is going to be different to someone else's. So even though you might have the same ingredient, as even though someone might see, oh, I can access that ingredient, it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
How would you like to see the indie beauty area evolve? You know, are there some things you see that needs improvement?
I guess there are a few trends that I see may shape the evolution in the coming years. The continued emphasis on natural and sustainable ingredients, that's definitely one. It's not even a trend. It's just part of life now.
We
just
have it now. Yeah.
It is a standard because retailers are asking for it. Mm-hmm. Retailers are saying, this is what we want. If you want us to stock your product, we want, because we want ourselves to look good, so we need you to make us look good. So it's really important to understand that sustainable ingredients is a very important part. It's not a trend, but it's going to be continued. Consumers seeking products that are natural and sustainable. Indie brands customizing their values to gain traction. So customer service, I'm going to see more of that. I think we're going to see a lot more of customer service. It's going to be a differentiation between one brand to another, if that makes sense, Amanda. Yeah. Like, being able to get back to customers, being able to get back to their needs and helping them is going to be a very, very big game changer, I see. Advancements in technology and innovation, obviously that's always going to be a growing trend. Anything that's, you know, we can buy in small quantity, that's going to be a big thing for all you ingredient suppliers out there. If you want to get into indie brands, make sure you've got innovation in small pack sizes. It's a big thing that indie brands are asking for. No one wants to buy a really exclusive ingredient and you can have to buy 250 kilos. It's just not feasible. It's not the way that – it's not sustainable. You've used, you know, one kilo of it and then it's, you know, the rest of it, what's happening to it? You know, that's even not a sustainable way of working. What are we going to talk about? Increased focus on inclusivity and diversity. I think I mentioned that. I think that's going to keep growing.
Yeah.
You know, I see that evolving better. Being able to include different ethnicities and, sexes. I think that's a very, very big thing. We're going to see a lot more of that diversity of the product and the way the marketing comes about, gaining access to that and gaining that loyal following. I think that's part of it, part of good customer service and having a great range of products that they're able to meet. But prioritizing those values, that's what the key is for these brands. And that's where I see it being evolved.
You mentioned a lot of things here, Rita, but if we could just go back a bit, you know, so this is how it evolved. We know, like, for example, sustainability, customer service, all these things are quite important to the consumer, but are there enough solutions to it? Like, for example, I spoke to you once about microbead alternatives, right? And you said, I asked you what are, like, the challenges, and you said cost is the challenge.
Oh, Amanda, cost is also the challenge. Like I said to you, we just had a sustainability seminar, and one of the questions I asked a few of the panelists was, like, how do we change? How do we change when government isn't supporting this change? Government isn't supporting the recycling scheme, or government isn't supporting and to do good, you know, it costs. How do we do this, and how do we move to that to become a better industry? If the cost around it is exuberant, it's not sustainable, and it's not feasible. And the other thing is the word indie brand in itself. We want to grow with indie brands, we want indie brands to grow. But the other headspace of mine is, yeah, okay, but I mean, how many serums are we going to have in the marketplace? When we talk about indie brands and the amount of brands that are coming, for me, I would love to see more co-branding, getting big brands working with small brands rather than more brands.
Right.
We don't need more products, because there are so many products. The wastefulness that we have out in our industry at the moment is something to be questioned, like, immensely. Like, I question it every day. I question when packaging comes to us and we have to look at these packaging for indie brands, and these beautiful glass bottles are packed in plastic, you know, inners. And I think, oh my goodness, there's so much waste. There's so much things that we can't recycle within this one, you know, tiny indie brand order. And there's about 20 indie brands doing the same thing.
Correct.
And next year, there'll be 60 indie brands doing the same thing, then 100 indie brands. Where do we stop? Where do we go as an industry and say, okay, let's start collaborating. Let's start working together. Let's start getting these big guys supporting the small guys. So there is a way to do it. No one just wants to do it. No one wants to talk about it. Everyone uses the word sustainability, but who's acting on it?
What's the way then, you think? More collaboration. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. More collaboration. I remember Amanda, you probably have to, about a month ago or a couple of months ago, Brad Pitt launched a product and all these indie brands got on social media and said, why? Instead of launching, why don't you work with other brands and
that's
collaborate?
True. Yeah, correct.
You know what I mean? I look at Courtney Cox launched a home care brand. Darling, why, rather than you launching a home care brand, why don't you put your name against another amazing home care brand, another indie brand, and work together and collaborate together? You know, I think of these things all the time. I see these big guys launching these products, these big influencers launching these products, and I think, work with these small indie brands to make them better. You've got the money and the power to help them on their sustainable journey, to help them educate. You know, it's hard for indie brands to talk and communicate because it costs money, yet these big brands and these big influencers have the money. And not just that, if you really want to be part of the beauty industry, make it better. Don't just launch another product. You're just adding to the problem. I say that all the time, you know, I try really hard to speak to big brands, you know, and I had a very big meeting. I won't tell you who the company was. It's very, 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 very big. Nutraceuticals. So they're in ingestibles as well, and they have a skincare range. Very, very, very big company. And I spoke to them about, rather than you creating a new range, why don't you partner with some smaller ones who are doing really, really well and collaborate with them, you know, in partnership with them. And, you know, they actually went, oh, okay, we might have to think about that, you know.
In beauty, there's so much collaboration, but collaboration with, like, you know, food producers. In China, you know, there's like a makeup brand will partner with a bubble tea brand. Or, you know, they were with another fashion brand, Hershey's, M&M's. I think I've seen all these collaborations, but
everyone does it so well. But the beauty industry, for some reason, the secret,
it could be more internal rather than going out external and finding, and so, just because I think all these, like, multi-brand collabs are just to create hype, right? Just to create some social media hype.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You could use this power for
the serum company. You know, there's no necessary conflict of interest, but, you know, you can grow together. I mean, there's no reason why another serum company can't creatively work with another serum company and layering up their product to create a beautiful, you know, a beautiful story.
Yeah, definitely agree. That would actually be really exciting to see people combining their expertise.
I would love that. But I mean, definitely, you know, inclusivity, diversity, transparency, and being responsible. Like, social responsibility is something that a lot of brands forget. That is one easy part of that, the 17 sustainability goals, you know, that the UN told us about. Social responsibility. Be responsible with how you communicate your product. Be responsible with what packaging you're using. Be responsible. And if you don't have to create a brand, I mean, a lot of the time indie brands come to me, Amanda, they say, I just want to be part of, I just want to make money. I want a side hustle. For me, that's not good enough.
No, it's not. It's not good enough. Yeah. Because
it doesn't cut it for me. If you want a side hustle, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to help like solution-based brands, like solution-based products. Excellent. Come to me with a solution to a problem that's out there. I will help you grow that. If you just want to create another vitamin C product, well, then that's, you know, for me, I don't see that innovative. I don't see that exciting. And I don't see that socially responsible.
Mm, correct. I guess like when it comes to, you know, our 3 R's, right? Reduce, reuse, recycle. I think reduce is the one problem that the beauty industry has the most. And there's always that very, you know, slightly iffy factor about maybe we're producing too much products. Yeah,
Amanda, we are producing too much products. Like, I have said no to so many projects because I don't see a value in it in our industry. I have a responsibility. I've been doing this for, you know, like I said, almost 30 years. So for me, it's my industry. I will live and breathe this industry. And it's my responsibility. You know, it's my responsibility to educate the young ones coming through and to allow them to understand what their space needs to be in the beauty industry, not just as a consumer, but if you want to create a brand. At the end of the day, we're all consumers. My goodness, like, and retailers, you know, they have so much. Like, we spoke about this a long time ago, consumer fatigue.
Yes.
Consumers just don't know what to buy anymore. Yeah. And the journey of the indie brand needs to change. Their journey and their supply chain journey and what they want to offer needs to change.
Is there anything else the wider industry, you know, suppliers and retailers can do to help the indie beauty scene thrive?
You know, I see it like in the US, they do it really, really well. Like, you have, you know, indie expos, you have retailers programs where they promote and they give, you know, funding to the indie brands and they you know, review many indie brands. You know, I work very closely with these guys over in the US, and they do really well. We don't do that well here in Australia, and I don't think it's really that well, Australia, New Zealand and Asia Pacific. We need more mentorship programs. We don't have that. I don't see it. You know, your Meccas and Sephoras of the world, these are the guys that have the power, and they should be putting together mentorship programs in all parts of Australia. It happens very well in the US. I don't see it happening very well in our region. You know, also, we're established beauty brands and industry leaders offering mentorship programs, you know, getting Unilever. Like, I know Unilever does, you know, some seed funding for brands, and that's a great thing, and that they're doing that very well. But you collaborating and doing more of that collaborating and mentorship, I don't see, that's where I see other players in the industry can help these indie brands and bring them through, getting them exposed, putting them through education. You know, like Sephora, I think, have a program where if you're an indie brand, you run through their programs. But again, it's not in our region, it's in the US. So absolutely.
Yeah. So it needs to be more region specific, you're saying, right? Because they all do it, I think, to a certain extent. I mean, Nivea has an NX in
absolutely. And, you know, I speak to so many indie brands, even ones that are pretty big now. We're like, we never heard about it. We never got a chance to, you know, be able to collaborate or co-brand or, you know, even distribution partners, being able to work, mentor the distributor partner. Like, these retailers know what it takes to be able to stock your product. They should be able to put some type of mentorship program, an industry association, a trade show that they can go to, you know, things like that, that to support indie brands navigate that industry regulation. What are your marketing strategies? Mm. What are your production processes? All of these things would support and help indie brands immensely. Clean.
And I think it also gets us together to discuss some really important issues, because like you and I have discussed, like, I don't know, one thing is like the you can clean beauty, like the term
Absolutely.
Of it. We've discussed TikTok and how that it's, you know, some brands feel that they have to adhere to, you know, TikTok rules and like getting through tests.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which
should.
Is quite detrimental.
I mean,
to
we
the
work really
well.
Hard to try
so I guess
and
it's,
connect
it's a good
you
should
retailers
be, you should have a
to
platform, right,
these
to,
brands, but we don't have access. A lot of the time we don't have access to these retailers. They don't want to see it. And they're the ones that have the power. So yes, you're right. We need to do this better.
In general, what are the pitfalls you commonly see indie beauty brands, you know, run into?
Well, a lot of this, I guess some of the pitfalls that I see or some of the pitfalls that we try and work with them to try and avoid is speed. They all want to get something so quick to market. So, you know, moving too fast, you know, also spending money on the wrong things. That's another thing that we speak to them about, like, where is your money going to go? In the early days, we used to struggle with brands paying for development because they've already spent, let's say, $15,000 on a mood board. You know, I laugh about that all the time, and I joke with many other formulators about this, but it's true. They would come to us and they'd bring us these mood boards with color schemes and packaging thoughts, and this is what we want. And you know, you ask them, how much did you spend for this? Like, oh, $15,000. And it's like, whoa, that's not where you really need to be spending your money. Acting without planning, the amount of brands that we get to see who don't have a business plan, they just have this idea and that's it. You know, going back and thinking about what you want to do and how you're going to execute it and with what money, that is such a crucial part of the development. This is something that we work very closely with them. We have free downloadable business plans for them to access. They can fill it all out. It doesn't take long, but it allows you to put their thought process. So they're the pitfalls that we see them. We try and say, you know, avoid this. You know, make sure you're ready and make sure you've got all that planning in place. Partnering with the wrong investors or manufacturers sometimes, or social, well, many say social media agencies. Sometimes these social media agencies take so much money from them and they don't know what they're doing because the brand doesn't know what to do.
So what's one piece of advice that you have for indie beauty brand owners that you would like to give?
I say to indie brands, Mel and I, so I work with Mel. Mel's our general manager and she also works very closely with brands, but stay focused to your brand mission. If I can say anything to anyone, stay focused with your brand mission. Prioritize your branding and your customer service. You know, make sure you comply with, you know, all the local things. Don't get too big too fast. You know what I mean? Track your metrics, see what's working with your brand, and then just grow from that. But stay focused. The amount of times we develop products for customers and they come back after 2 weeks and go, oh, I Googled something and someone said that something does this. And it's like, guys, stick, you know, focus, stay focused. Don't deviate. Don't start, you know, remember what the plan was. And you know, someone tries it and says, oh, one person out of 50 says, oh, it's a bit sticky. You know, oh, I don't like that ingredient because it's a comedogenic, you know, sick. It's stay focused and prioritize your branding.
Cut
focus on
the,
customers.
Yeah, just cut out all the noise. Only here. Just cut out all the noise.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I would give one piece of advice.
I guess so. It seems like, I guess nowadays it's easier, right, for brands to come up with just one product. Because usually last time you have more than one SKU. But we've seen some brands that have actually made it with just one product. So those are the brands that, and some of them have actually done pretty well.
So many brands. You know, there was a brand that we worked with, a lip product. It was a lip plumping product. And it did so well. So they got a lot of those reviews. So they had about thousands and thousands of people reviewing this one lip product. And that's what made it. That's what made it for them. They've expanded since, but you just need one hero product. Do what you're good at and you know, you grow from that.
And that's very good advice to end on. Rita, thank you so much again for coming on the chat.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
I'm sure our listeners will have found your insights very valuable. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you, Amanda. We'll talk soon.
This has been Beauty 4.0, Decoding the Business of Beauty, a podcast by Cosmetic Design, bringing you the inside stories on the innovations and innovators behind the beauty industry.